Good morning, and welcome to all that have gathered here to worship and glorify God on the Lord's Day, on His day. It is certainly good to be together. If you're visiting with us, please know that that's an encouragement to us, and we pray likewise that we're an encouragement to you, and that you're always welcome to be with us whenever you might have the opportunity. Thank you so much for being here. To our members, it's good to be together. We look forward to this day. As I've asked recently, what better way could we find to start a week? That's why God wants us to meet on the first day of the week, that we start by worshiping Him, that we lay the foundation for a faithful week when we come here together to worship and praise God. So to our members, thank you for being here to participate in that, to worship God, to encourage one another, and get ready to go out and serve Him to the best of our ability. And that's what we'll focus on here today and moving forward. In our Bible class series, we're studying the two letters that Paul wrote to the Christians in the ancient city of Thessalonica, located in Macedonia. And we've made reference to the point that Paul is giving feedback to the Christians in that city, within that congregation. He's writing of their strengths and their challenges. And he commends them, for instance, on the love that they have for one another and the fact that they are standing up against persecution. They've become an example to Christians all throughout that region. And of course, there were some challenges and there were some misinformation that he needed to clarify. But it's a very personal letter to the Christians in that city, within that congregation. You may recall last week that Billy Roman brought up a very good point. It was a compelling, thought-provoking question. If you recall, I did ask her last week if that was copyrighted or trademarked in any way. And she said that it was not, so I feel clear to use it in the sermon today. I did make the comment that there was a sermon I was working on that I thought that might fit well within, and this is that sermon. And so I'll share with you that question, I'll remind you, and I'll paraphrase, but she basically said, I wonder what Paul would write about this congregation, what feedback and observations that he would make about our strengths and our challenges, because we certainly do have strengths, but we have some things that we can work on, as most every congregation does. You know, I thought it was a compelling question to get those observations and feedback from a different source as to the strength of our faith and the hallmarks of this particular congregation. And I got to thinking a little bit more. We could look at that question from another perspective. What would Jesus say about our congregation? Because he did provide some feedback to a group of seven congregations as recorded in the Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Seven congregations that were located in cities across the western part of modern-day Turkey, known within the Roman Empire as the region of Asia. Jesus gives feedback through the Apostle John to each one of these individual congregations, and he addresses their strengths and their weaknesses. What would Jesus say about us and this congregation? What observations would he make? In the New King James Version, preceding each description of each individual congregation is a description or a title that's been added. And it has one word description of each congregation. For instance, the first congregation to be referenced is the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The title given to that is the Loveless Church. That's certainly not a title that we would desire for our congregation. I hope you would agree. The next congregation to be mentioned is the church at Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. That is referenced as the persecuted church, and so on and so forth. What would the title of this congregation be? The blank church. Well, if you've been with us for any amount of time, you might agree that an accurate and descriptive title in one word for this congregation would be that we are a growing church. We are a growing congregation. And it is true that over the past couple of years, we have grown significantly, and that is a blessing from the Lord. And with that growth, though, comes a series of challenges. That we should be vigilant that we grow the way that God wants us to grow, that we grow the right way. That we're not growing just for the sake of growth itself, just to fill seats in the auditorium, but we're growing the way that God would want us to grow, according to the truth of God's Word. So this morning I'd like to explore three challenges of a growing congregation. Things that we should be vigilant of. That we ensure that we grow in the strength of our faith according to the truth of God's Word so that we can be more beneficial in our work serving Him, and to go out and find others to convert to Christianity, to become part of the Lord's church, to use our growth and capitalize upon it to grow even larger, to strengthen the kingdom, to strengthen His church. The three challenges I'd like to consider today are as follows. That we beware that we grow in quality and quantity. That it's not just growing in number, again, just to fill seats, but that we individually continue to grow and strengthen our faith. That again, we're not just focused on that false sense of security that comes from having more people here among us, but that we continue to focus on that individual growth. As you can see, the third point, I'll return to that. We also need to beware that we grow in sound doctrine. We ensure that we're growing again the way that God wants us to. I think many of us are familiar with previously sound, strong congregations that somehow drifted away from the truth of God's word. That had to start somewhere. And as we grow, we should beware of the introduction of false doctrine and false teaching. So let's think about that for a brief amount of time this morning. And then circling back to a previous point about growing in quality, let's ensure that we continue to grow individually. That as our congregation gets larger and larger, there's more and more opportunity to serve one another and to serve within the congregation. But the larger we get, people tend to get lost in the shuffle. Individual Christians can tend to fall between the cracks because there are more people to get to know, more relationships to build, and we have to always focus on making sure that everyone is included, everyone is growing. Everyone feels like they're part of this amazing family so that they can continue to grow as well. So let's think of these three challenges. At the end of the lesson, I'll make a point that these aren't actually challenges, but God wants us to see these as opportunities because He's blessed us with that growth. He wants us to keep building and keep growing, but growing the way that He would have us to grow. Let's think of growing in quality and quantity. You know, oftentimes in life, we think of these two terms as being opposed to one another. We have to choose whether we do something in the benefit of quality or quantity, but the actual truth is that God wants us to grow in both perspectives. Grow in the strength of our individual faith, but then grow in number within the congregation. And let's think as an introduction to the point of growing in quality by going to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Join me in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 14. Where the Hebrew writer reminds us of how important it is that we grow individually, and he uses an interesting illustration to make his point. Again, we're going to come back to the point of individual growth toward the end of the lesson, but let's consider this an introduction to that topic. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. The Hebrew writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We all have a responsibility to grow in the strength and knowledge of God's word and our ability and willingness to apply it. And the writer refers that as transitioning from milk to solid food, spiritually speaking. That we don't become so confident by growing in numbers that we lose that focus on individual growth. Because it's true that we help one another prepare for the day of judgment. That's the benefit of that growth within a congregation numerically. But we'll stand individually in judgment. We are each individually on that path towards salvation. And we can't neglect our necessity to continue to grow. And I'd ask you to hold that thought because we'll certainly circle back to that toward the end of the lesson. But let's think about the other way that we're expected to grow. And that's the growth that we have experienced as well, and that is to grow in quantity, that the congregation becomes larger in number. You know, there's two ways a congregation can grow. It can be considered as either transfer growth or new growth. I got those terms from a sermon that Wendy and I listened to from a preacher somewhere in Alabama. I can't remember the exact city, but we saw a video of this one particular lesson, and the preacher was addressing the topic of congregational growth, and he referred to transfer growth and new growth, because it was evident that that congregation had experienced growth over the past 1 or 2 years, similar to how we had. And so the preacher was delivering a similar sermon with that similar topic about the cautions of that type of growth. And he references transfer growth, which I'll address first, as a congregation growing by Christians moving to the area or Christians in the community finding that congregation. So it's growing by people who are already Christians. We have certainly experienced and encountered that type of growth. And that is certainly a blessing and a benefit, which is the point that this man made in delivering that lesson. But he referenced this other type of growth, new growth, which is exactly how it sounds. Members of a congregation going out in the community and finding people, as Jesus directed us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, to make disciples and teach and bring people to Christ and baptize, to convert people to Christianity. That's new growth. The point that he made is we should never neglect our opportunity and responsibility to go out and establish and cultivate that new growth, because we're growing by means of transfer growth. And again, we've actually encountered both within this congregation. I'll talk about that new growth here when we look at the next point. But it's a valid way to look at the topic overall, is that transfer growth is certainly a blessing. Just think about what we've encountered here in this congregation. It's been an answer to a prayer, quite honestly. And it's been such a blessing that we have this additional love and knowledge and insight and perspective building up our congregation from Christians who have found us, who have moved into the area, who have found us from this local community. And we've appreciated so much growth in that dimension, and we can capitalize on that. But let's never forsake our responsibility to go outside these walls and find new growth. Teach people, be an example. Invite them to come study. Just because we're filling seats based on that transfer growth doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to cultivate that new growth. So it's both that would strengthen the kingdom. And remember, Jesus gave us that mission. And that transfer growth is a blessing, but it's new growth that expands the kingdom. Why did Jesus come here and die on the cross? Well, to save the world from its sins. And we are the means by which he reaches out to people in this world around us. So let's continue to reach out. Let's be satisfied and content with that transfer growth, because it is absolutely such a blessing. But then let's work together with all that additional love and knowledge and insight and resources and go out and find people to bring to Christ, to bring towards salvation, because that's truly what Jesus wants us to do. That's what he taught us to do. So that's growing in quality and quantity together. Let's think about the next point. As we grow, we have to ensure that we grow according to sound doctrine. And let's go back to the point of that new growth. We have a responsibility to teach new Christians the truth of God's Word. While they're drinking that milk, that we help them to get to that solid food, spiritually speaking. And that they act upon that based on the example that we've set. And that they understand that they have joined this incredible family that will help them and guide them and be an encouragement and be a good example and help them on that path towards salvation. Because we have some newer Christians here among us. Matter of fact, we have a brand new Christian, and we will introduce this young man during the announcements after worship service. If you were with us on Wednesday evening, you'd be familiar with that. But again, we have a responsibility that a new Christian doesn't just come up out of the waters of baptism and then they're on their own. But we're there for them and we guide them and we encourage them. And we've thought lately about how challenging that can be, because we think of it from the devil's perspective and how he will tempt a new Christian. Because up to that point, as a lost sinner, the devil doesn't have to work too hard to keep them in that condition. You know, sadly, lost sinners are very proficient in making bad decisions on their own. And the devil just has to introduce temptation from time to time just to keep them in that condition. But what happens when that person becomes a Christian and is baptized and begins that path or that journey towards salvation? The devil knows that he has a limited amount of time to tempt that person to doubt the decision that they made and to question their commitment while they're still drinking milk, spiritually speaking, before they transition to solid food. That's a limited amount of time. we have to help that new Christian navigate that vulnerable period in their journey of faith, to be an encouragement, to be a good example, that they can rely on us, that we link arms with them and we protect them as much as we can by giving them the opportunity to grow and become entrenched in their faith, to get on their feet, spiritually speaking. So it becomes harder and harder for the devil to tempt them. It becomes less and less likely that they would give in to that temptation to second guess the commitment that they've made. So that's our responsibility toward a new Christian. We also then, as we grow, have to be vigilant against false teaching. We talked about that in Bible class today as we focused on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This false teaching that had already crept in to this very young congregation in the city of Thessalonica. As we grow, we have to be vigilant that false teaching and false doctrine is not introduced into the congregation. I'd ask you to turn to Colossians chapter 2 and let's read verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul gives a similar warning to the Christians in the ancient city of Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, but not according to Christ." Last time I checked, the sign in front of our building says Live Oak Church of Christ. We are His church. We have to go back to His Word and what He taught and the example that He set. And you know, it's rare that false teaching just springs up spontaneously from within a congregation. I think, sadly, most of us are familiar with congregations that were previously strong and practiced sound doctrine, but somehow drifted away from the truth of God's Word. Well, how does that happen? By the introduction of false teaching, by people coming into the congregation with false ideas or misrepresenting God's Word. And once it takes root, it can start to spread like a cancer. And I would think that many people in this congregation that have been with us for a while might say to themselves, that could never happen here. It can never happen in this congregation. But I would be more than willing to bet that within those congregations that have drifted away from the truth of God's Word, there were previously faithful Christians that might have said the same thing. Well, that could never happen here. The reality is that it does. And we have to ensure that we always come back to God's Word, that we use that as our standard. Again, that we grow the way that God wants us to grow, according to sound doctrine and teaching. And it's true, that's the responsibility of your elders to guide us spiritually, to make sure that we're worshiping and serving according to the truth of God's Word, but we all have a stake in that. You know, if someone has false ideas and wants to teach false doctrine, or that's what they believe, and they're willing to come here and learn, then that's an opportunity to teach someone who is misinformed, to bring them to the truth of God's Word so they can get over that hurdle and get on the right path to salvation. But friends, if they won't listen and they won't learn, we can't tolerate that because there's too much at stake. Because we all strive to be together in heaven, not just here in this congregation in this world, but to help prepare one another for the day of judgment so that we can be together in heaven with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior and with the Spirit. So we have to grow the way that God would have us to grow. The third point, we're actually circling back to one of our prior points about growing in quality, and that's to focus on continued individual growth. Not just to be satisfied with filling more seats, but individually to grow in the strength of our faith. Because again, we help one another to prepare for the day of judgment and salvation, but we'll be judged individually. You know, we're reminded that a way to grow within the congregation is by serving one another and serving the congregation. I'd ask you to turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Because that's the point that the Apostle Paul is making here in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, is that God has blessed us with talents and abilities and skills, and He expects us to put those to use, benefiting one another by serving in different roles and capacities within a congregation. And within this particular passage, Paul gives us a representative sampling of ways that we can serve within a congregation. So let's read together Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 with that in mind. Paul writes, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Granted, there is one ability there that no longer exists. That's the gift of prophecy, which was relevant in the early church, but again, is no longer accessed by us. But everything else there is an example of how we can serve within the congregation. And we grow individually as we fill those roles and responsibilities. Let me give you one example that Paul touches on, teaching. Now think about teaching Bible class. And again, I'll just use this as one example, and I'll reference a couple of other opportunities as well. Teaching Bible class is an excellent way to grow, but there's a risk in a growing congregation that someone who's interested in filling that role might make the following somewhat erroneous observation. You know, there are plenty of Bible class teachers as we get larger and larger. And maybe they just have that covered. Maybe there's not a place for me because we have enough Bible class teachers. And we certainly do have an ample number of teachers as we have grown. And we have excellent Bible class teachers. But there's always room for more. Excuse me, there's always more opportunity. And we shouldn't let that dissuade us from being involved in that or any other role, just thinking that as we grow, there's more and more people, so there are more and more Christians filling that role, because there's always opportunity. And you can learn so much by teaching Bible class. Again, just as an example, how we grow individually by serving the congregation. And I'll give you a personal example. A couple years after I had been baptized and become a Christian, we moved to East Texas, worshiped in a relatively large congregation there. About a year after we arrived, a friend of mine, a brother in Christ, remember I had been a Christian now by this point about 3 years. I still had a lot to learn myself. But he approached me and said that he was teaching junior high school Bible class the next quarter and asked me if I would teach with him. And I think my heart sped up a little bit. My mouth got a little bit dry. I got that nervous perspiration, I think. My eyes were probably about as big as dinner plates, because I had never taught anyone anything about Scripture before. And I reluctantly agreed to teach with him. I think the first thing I asked him is if he would always be there with me. We weren't rotating Sundays and Wednesdays. I wanted to make sure that he was always going to be there. And he kind of laughed. He said, yeah, I'll always be there with you. He knew I was a new Christian, but he knew that would be an excellent opportunity for me to learn and grow. So he gave me that opportunity. It was one of the best things I ever did. If you've taught Bible class before, you would agree, I'm sure, that almost any age group you could teach, there's something to learn in putting the lessons together and presenting it in a way that that particular audience would understand, because it draws you into Scripture in ways that maybe you haven't been drawn in before, because you have to think of it, in this instance, from the perspective of a junior high school student. So how would I present that in a way that would make sense to them, and hence putting that together, I'm learning at the same time. And then, as I think our Bible class teachers would agree, you learn something new from the students at almost any level. I was amazed at some of the insight from junior high school students who had grown up in Christian families. They, whether they knew it or not, were teaching me about Scripture as we discussed the Bible. So you have something to learn and gain individually. And as we get larger and larger as a congregation, it doesn't mean there's less and less opportunity. It actually means the opposite. There's more and more. You want to teach Bible class, get involved. And you don't have to start on your own. You can teach with someone else. You could be a substitute. You can shadow a teacher. There's all kinds of ways for you to become involved in that or any role within the congregation that you're qualified to do. For men who are interested in leading prayers or serving at the table, there's ample opportunity to do that. If you want to serve at the table, for instance, you could start out not saying a word. Just helping circulate the plate around the auditorium is a great way to get started. And then maybe you can move into leading prayers before the bread and before the fruit of the vine, or making comments before the Lord's Supper. There are ample opportunities. If you're a man who is interested in leading songs, you can certainly do that as well. Similar to our group of Bible class teachers, we are blessed with a group of excellent song leaders here. We have more song leaders here than congregations twice, three times, four times our size. And that's certainly a blessing, but it doesn't mean there's no opportunity for anyone else. You don't have to start by leading songs in a worship service. You can start by leading songs after Bible class on a Wednesday evening or on a Wednesday evening quarterly song service, which is one of the reasons why we do that. The point is there are opportunities to grow and learn, and we shouldn't let the size of the congregation think that there are less opportunities, because by serving within the congregation, you learn and you grow. And that really leads to the last point in the lesson, that we not only contribute to the work of the congregation, but in so doing, we ensure everyone has a chance to grow. Think about some of those roles and responsibilities that Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 12 that we just read, such as encouraging one another and showing mercy or being kind to one another. That takes no special skill or ability. That's actually something we should all strive to do. Think about how challenging that can be as the congregation grows, because there's more and more people to meet and to form those relationships with. You know, in a small congregation, everyone seems to know one another, because that's a lot easier because there's less people to get to know. As we grow larger and larger, we have to deliberately reach out and make sure that everyone understands how important they are, that they have a place, that every soul is precious. And we should make everyone welcome here and ensure that everyone has an opportunity to grow. And we should form those bonds and those relationships that help us to learn and grow together as we prepare for salvation. And Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. That'll be the last passage of Scripture we read together this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And Paul writes about how important every soul is, that we all have a place, that we all make a difference. We have to work together to ensure that no one falls between the cracks, no one gets lost in the shuffle, that everyone here understands how important they are, because they're important to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Paul writes that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Friends, we show our love to one another by creating and reinforcing those bonds between us. And that becomes more and more of a challenge the larger and larger we get in number. We have to ensure that we continue to cultivate those relationships, because that's how we grow. Somebody drifts away from the faith when they start to feel detached from their congregation, when they start to feel isolated, if someone becomes an island. We have to break through those barriers and ensure that we maintain contact with everyone. And we're checking on one another. We're visiting one another. We're encouraging each other. Those bonds just aren't formed here when we're together in this building, but they should carry on throughout the week. And the larger we get, the more effort that takes. But it's effort that God wants us to put into building up this congregation, growing the way that He would have us grow. As we get larger and larger, we have to ensure that we maintain that small congregation atmosphere, and that we share love with one another and encourage each other and support one another, because that's how we grow in quality and in quantity. And that's how God truly wants us to grow. You know, we've thought this morning about how important both of those aspects are, that we grow as individual Christians, that we strengthen our faith while we're growing in number, that we grow the right way, adhering to sound doctrine, being vigilant against false teaching creeping into our congregation so we stay on God's path to salvation, and we ensure that we continue to grow individually by serving within the congregation and making sure that we're reaching out and staying connected with one another and building those important relationships. That's how we grow the way that God wants us to grow. Again, we thought of this in terms of the challenges of a growing congregation. Remember, God wants us to see this as opportunities. that as we grow in number, we have that additional insight and knowledge and wisdom and perspective so that we have a better ability to go out in the community and establish and cultivate that new growth, as Jesus taught us to do, bringing people to God's Word, bringing people towards salvation, so that God's kingdom strengthens and expands. That's a responsibility and an opportunity that we all have working together as we grow, as God would have us do. You know, as an invitation, if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to become part of the Lord's church, part of this family. If you confess Christ as your Savior, if you're baptized in water to have your sins washed away, you can begin that journey of faith with your brethren. And you won't be on your own, because you'll have your brothers and sisters in Christ to help encourage you and to guide you along the way. It is worth that decision, because it would be the best decision you'll ever make. And God would then guide you towards salvation. So if that invitation applies to you, you're welcome to come forward and be baptized. And if you are a Christian and you're not growing in your faith, if you feel yourself starting to drift away and become isolated, don't wait for someone to reach out to you. Reach out and get help, because we're here for one another. You can respond to this invitation. You can contact someone individually, but don't just drift. Don't become an island. Reestablish that connection, because we can't afford to let anyone drift away. We can't afford to let anyone fall between the cracks. And if you feel like that's happening, please reach out. So if that invitation applies to anyone in any way, or there's anything we can do for you spiritually speaking, that's an invitation to come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Bring Christ your-